Greetings, everybody out there in listener land. This is Game Goblin coming back from the RadCon
experience.
RadCon experience. Oh,
well,
yeah.
This was a year 7B?
7B, correct.
All right, this is Darth Blasphemous as well. I'm here kicking it. We literally just got back from con like 30 minutes ago.
Okay, so you know what that means right now? I'm going to roll our long-ass two-minute intro, and we'll be right back.
Blunt Force Gamers.
You are whatever muddies the white.
I'm killing Steve Shives.
I am so blue ball on fucking EA right now.
It means hold on, fuck.
Durr.
Pay me rent, bitch.
Hey, I paid for a 2-liter, you fucker.
3, 2, 1. Ready?
Hello. Feeling tired at the gaming table? Unsure if your game needs inspiration? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you. Now there's a podcast untamed by political correctness that may bring your game some added invigoration, whether it is video gaming, tabletop gaming, or card gaming. Each episode may contain unusual amounts of truth, logic, opinions based on personal experiences, half-assed insights, and random bullshit. The BFG podcast is not recommended for children under 18, nor for children over 18, and is not suitable for those who are nursing, pregnant, recently pregnant, or for those who can get others pregnant. Each episode may also contain crude and or puerile humor, humor of a racist, sexist, nihilist, ableist, jingoist, ageist, or fatalist commentary. Warning! Excessive listening to the podcast may cause the following conditions: tremors, sweating, facial twitching, premature ejaculation, pustulant tumors, nausea, headaches, dizziness, swelling in the left kneecap, lucid dreaming, daydreaming, night terrors, involuntary convulsions, a condition known as sausage fingers, spontaneous rectal combustion, autoerotic asphyxiation, an unusual desire to befriend parasitic space monsters, Bigfoot sightings, and uncontrollable facepalming. Lactation is known to occur in both men and women. Do not listen to BFG if you suffer from any of the following conditions: social justice whining, passive-aggressive hippie syndrome, high-speed battles with a Nexus 6, table-flipping rage quitting, or diagnosed as having no sense of humor. Ask your doctor if asking your doctor is right for you.
Okay, well, at least the new one's better.
Yeah. Hey, we're coming full circle with this podcast, because remember right after RadCon, it was just pretty much us sitting in front of a microphone
bitching about how bad it was.
And surprisingly enough, this year was better in some aspects.
No, I'd say by leaps and bounds in many. I mean, well, let's give it the rundown. For those of you who haven't heard our one from last year, I recommend going and listening to it.
I don't. It was terrible.
And?
Okay, so.
So, but we go back to RadCon because we love RadCon. In fact, to the point that we got video equipment and started interviewing people who are regulars at the con. And now we're networking with people. We got Attention Span Games. Again, they're awesome. They're doing a Replicants expansion.
Yep.
Go check it out. Watch our video. It should be up in a week.
Yeah, and we're going to do we're gonna launch our video with Ron Liotta kicking my butt at Replicants.
Oh, spoiler alert, guys. But yeah. The challenge is put down. And our brave Gabo, he went the way of the token in a Krenko deck. You know, he just right out of the park.
Well, I figured, you know, it'd be fun because Ron is technically my sensei, in a way, because I went to his panel last year to learn more about podcasting, and he basically gave me the advice of just do it.
Yeah.
Which I guess is both sound advice and horrible advice at the same time. So this year I thought, again, full circle, I'd just get into space and be like, hey, my podcast versus your podcast in a game, and Mr. Carson, one of the former guys on his podcast, decided, hey, you guys are playing Replicants. So, yeah.
Heads up, 1v1, high stakes.
High stakes.
Shilling.
One versus one.
Which, by the way, we're going to have to do more shilling, but I think it's mainly going to be our video that the main shilling is at.
Yeah, the main, actually, I got to contact Ron. We're getting a touch base. And I'm going to shill the hell out of his show because I lost and I'm going to take it with dignity. Yeah. But, you know, I don't mind losing to him because, you know, again, he's like my sensei. Just do it. So I'm out there with a stick yelling kung fu noises, pretending to be a podcaster.
But yeah, you know, it was a great con overall. Some really great guests. It was a bit lower in attendance this year, but I'll tell you this, from being out and about and having a spontaneous room party happen in your room, there were more people out on the floor just talking, which was great. So it may have been less total people, but there was more interaction.
There was a lot more interaction going on this year, and one thing I didn't understand, and I still don't to a degree, is that whole cosplay thing.
Okay.
But after this year of running around in three different outfits, I get kind of the point, because every outfit I wore, I would get different reactions.
Which is great, because we basically dragged him by the ear.
Yeah, they forced me actually to go to this RedCon by making me one of my cosplay outfits, and I went as the Cardinal of Keck for a couple of hours on Saturday, and because Nej put so much work into that outfit, I had to go.
Chatelet, my dudes, it was great. Everyone kept thinking he was St. Patrick. I heard at least 20, 30 people say he was the Pope.
Yeah, the Pope came up a lot, and of course St. Patrick, and the amazing part was, is all the younger audience there, the like 25 and unders, all I had to do was say Chatelet, and they were like, yes! So the younger crowd is definitely getting it, so to me this was like trolling in live action.
Oh yeah, brought you back to the old days, huh?
Yeah, brought me back to the old days, pre-internet.
And then of course he wore his face.
I did. I wore my face, the one that I'm going to be wearing in the videos upcoming on YouTube. And I scared the crap out of a little kid until I explained to him, hey, this is just me as I'll appear on the internet. Mm-hmm. And gave him the lowdown that, you know, we're just guys who review video games and card games and board games. And then the kid kind of calmed down and he rolled with it. And then they started talking more game talk with me. And I jumped into that for a few minutes.
Nice.
And the dinosaur costume was also weird because I jump out on the dance floor, which I should not have done at my age.
It was hilarious. I didn't get to see it firsthand, but him running down the hallway in one of those inflatable dino costumes, and then our other buddy in a Baymax costume.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard it was epic. Like, they got told to get in there.
Yeah, I got to the door. The security guard is like, I don't care. Just get in there. We need you. We need you now. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'm hitting the dance floor. And, like, people would just run up and just start dancing with me for no reason, and I am not a good dancer at all.
Or person.
Let's leave the obvious out of this, okay? but I'm not a good dancer, and I'm out there, and people are just, like, crowding around me. I've got strange girls running up to give me hugs. I've got dudes, like, jumping up in, like, dance-off challenges, and then they give me the win, even though I'm in a costume, and I dance horribly.
Yeah, it's like a three-foot shuffle. Well,
I can't do more than a three-foot shuffle in that thing, so I'm just basically swinging my little T-Rex arms around.
No, you should totally do that, you know, stand up, stand up, copyrighted in music.
Yeah, and you guys talked me into doing puppet karaoke again, which is why my voice is practically destroyed.
Oh my god, it was so great. So good.
Oh, they had a good attendance this year in that.
Oh yeah. There was a bunch of other great stuff. Bunch of awesome cosplays. And some really great guests. I see you got the book out, because we got the swag bags.
Dude, we ran into so many people. I actually have to pull the book out to look up names.
Because
we ran into so many people. I know you got the name of Batman. There was a dude doing a old school Adam West Batman, and he had that thing rocking.
Mm.
And I can't remember his name, but the outfit was just pop spot on.
You know, if you guys want to see a bunch of these photos, go to Facebook.com and look up the official Tri-City RadCon Facebook page. Ask to join. Check it out. See what we do every year. There's some great photos, some short videos. You can see all the stuff we're talking about.
You know, I should really piss off Narciss and post those photos on our sites where he's wearing the wig and looking all super, like, girly.
You mean the ones on my phone?
Exactly.
Oh, no. You know what really get him?
Hmm.
His karaoke session.
Yeah, his karaoke session. Oh, there's one of the names that we ran into. This guy is totally legit. Brad Steiner.
Oh, dude, Brad.
Brad is awesome.
Oh, my God. Brad, like...
So I cannot give this guy enough praise. Last year, I just thought he was a dude who was trying to keep us ramped up and involved. You know, he's basically being a glorified cheerleader. And this year, I actually, as I interacted with him in my various outfits and in my real face and my pink skin face, I realized that this guy is actually, his heart is in the con.
Well, I mean, we did the interview with him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He just... And even afterwards, he gave us some advice on how to make it better. And, I mean, this guy just 100%, he is on board. He wants to make this con the best he can. And, I mean, he puts his heart and soul into this stuff, really. I mean, we were talking to him for a bit after, and I saw him in the halls a few times. He goes to almost every panel, every event, and he still took time out of his day to talk to people and do interviews.
I swear, this guy's chugging, like, 50-hour energy drinks.
No. They make 5-hour energy out of his blood. They just water it down.
No, maybe he just drinks, like, 10 of them in a row. Because I don't know how this guy does it throughout the entire weekend and maintains that energy level. Because even on Sunday, he was just still go, 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 smiles, grins, you know. I mentioned I might be going to the art show, and he's like, oh, I'll be right over there. I'm like, dude, how do you have this much energy? But yeah, he's all about it. This guy, Mick Strawn.
Oh my God.
This guy, I can't really peg him down. He's got this really weird sense of humor. He's also got that Hollywood personality.
Mm-hmm.
But he is an effects designer who's done a lot of effects in 80s and 90s horror movies. He's also does his own podcast and invited us to listen to it. And honestly, if I knew that he worked on Mortal Kombat beforehand, I probably would have groveled at his feet.
You didn't know?
I did not know.
I talked to one of my cousins on Facebook, and they couldn't believe it, so I got a photo with him. And I was like, ha ha.
Yeah, and it's one of those weird things that about con culture is you really can't judge somebody by first appearance. Mm-hmm. I made that mistake a long time ago with the co-writer of the Klingon Dictionary.
Okay.
And I was talking to another guy about this actually yesterday. And we got into the story about, you know, how con people, you just can't really peg them down until you talk to them.
Yeah.
And I almost beat the crap out of the co-writer of the Klingon Dictionary almost 19 years ago. And, you know, Mick, he's just sitting there in a chair, and he looks grumpy. He's watching us, our crew, sit around also off to the side. And he just gets up, and he's like, hey, I'm running the panel. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll go check it out. I don't know who you are. You look like you're a little put off from being here. And then when I get to his panel and he's actually going over how they did special effects in these old 80s movies, the car scene with Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Mm-hmm. No, that was 3.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street 3?
Was it 3? It's the one where the truck hits nothing. And he told us the whole way it was done, and it was great. I highly recommend trying their podcast. He tells a bunch of stories. I snapped a few.
Yeah, once he started explaining all the special effects and stuff, I started realizing how deep in the industry this guy is. And I'm like, holy crap, this is a dude I actually want to rub elbows with. You know?
Okay, so my favorite.
Like I said, though, you cannot judge somebody just by first glance.
No, and you know, when they introduced him, I was like, I've heard that name. And then lo and behold, my cousin is like, oh, he does the work on my favorite movies. Oh, but like the way he goes into the detail of how he gets everything perfect, and he gave advice of know where everything's going to be and where it will end up.
Yeah.
And that was just great. And he was really approachable. You could talk to him, caught him in hospitality a couple times, and he's a really great guy.
Yeah, I caught him in the hallway, and the fun part was I was wearing my goblin face. And I got the rope around my neck. I got the burlap sack on my head. My face is itchy as hell. I've been wearing it for a long time. My nose is starting to get scuffed up from the inside of the burlap. And he just randomly appears out of the corner of my eye. He goes, you look just like a character concept that we had for a movie. And he gave me a flyer for his podcast. And I was like, whoa, whoa, dude, I'm a goblin. And he goes, and you look like the actor we had for that horror movie. And I'm like, all right, dude. All right. So he's got a sense of humor, but it's hard to nail down. So he's a fun guy, but a sense of humor takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another great guest was Isaac.
Isaac was awesome. I wish we could have got him on camera.
He was way too busy. And then when it finally died down at the end of con, camera was almost dead. We forgot to charge it.
Yeah, and Isaac is the guy who does the voice of Thanos.
In the animated, the Lego stuff, and in video games.
Mm-hmm.
He also was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep. Standing right behind Captain Barbossa.
Well, he was his number two, I believe.
Yeah,
like it's been a while. But, you know, and he's done a bunch of other great work. Like, he was telling us about all the voice acting where people are like, no, that wasn't you. No way. And he's like, he has a great range.
He does. An amazing range.
At the end of his interview on stage for opening ceremonies, he actually did the Thanos voice and was like,
Radcon, my shadow has darkened your world, blah, blah, blah. It was awesome.
You will bow before me or be destroyed. I was like, yes.
And that just got the crowd going. I mean, that place, standing room only in the back. There was like one empty chair because it was between two people. And they were just like, no. You know, it was great.
Yeah, it was, overall, I was looking at the guest list, the guests of honor when we first got in on Friday. And what concerned me first off about this year was the fact that, going through the book here, is a lot of the special guests they had were special guests from last year.
Okay.
And I felt personally this was not a good sign for a con to have a lot of the same talent coming through being the special guest 2 years in a row. This is something I never saw when I was doing WesterCon, NorwestCon, RustyCon, DreamCon back in the day.
Yeah.
They might have like one guest who would appear 2 years in a row, but after that, they would let somebody else come in and pinch hit.
Well, I mean, come on. Dragon is there every year and he loves it.
I think Dragon lives at every con.
Does he have an actual home? I feel like he just goes from con to con, hotel to con. I mean, seriously.
The weird part is, though, the Dragon, of all people, and he knows, Dragon Jonet knows a lot of people, given his career, especially in Hollywood special effects and stuff. He's always networking with a fuck ton of people. It blew my mind the fact that last year he recognized me, even though I'd gone to a con for 20 years. And then this year, he's like, I know you. I'm like, what the hell? I am a nobody with a microphone.
Yep.
And Dragon Jonet knows me. And this guy, he's got a great sense of humor. He actually stopped me while I was wearing my Keck outfit and described how he made a phone for the actual Pope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He made Which a phone Pope? For the Pope. And he tells me this story in the hallway because he sees me wearing my cardinal outfit. And I'm just like, dude, is there anything you haven't done? Seriously.
Been to the moon, I imagine.
If they put a con on the moon, he will be there. Elon Musk will fly him. The windows will be rolled up in the car, you know, for air. This is another guy we couldn't get on in front of the camera.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Eric Pope.
He was cool. We had an interview lined up, but scheduling issues and camera battery life again. I mean, we had 30 minutes at the time, but he was just running around and grabbing people. We like the fire show because, oh, my God. Ignition, they're so freaking great. I went and did 4th of July with a couple of them through a friend of mine. And they're great people. They're really chill, you know, family orientated and all that. And they're just awesome. But this was a big anniversary for them. This was a 10-year. And they got him to basically be their hype man. So he's running out there in full costume. He's like, yeah, come on. Waving his, you know, foam hammer and all that. And
come on, fairies.
He literally went through the con and would find groups of people and be like, come on, let's go. You know, get people out there to the fire show. And
yeah,
he was a great guy. Like, even just finding him in the halls, he'd just take a minute and we would just talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that actually surprised me, at the risk of sounding, I think they would just call it sexist, is Echo Chernik, whatever her name is. Normally, when I grew up in a family of artists, everybody in my family did something or dabbled in something, whether it was poetry, music, painting. Somebody played with something that was artistic.
Mm-hmm.
Except me. I just banged rocks together and called it a grumpy stick because, well, goblins are that way.
Yeah.
But Echo actually impressed me as an artist because it's rare that I see a woman of her talent scale.
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, her work stuck out to me because it's Art Nouveau. Both of us bought a piece from her.
Yeah.
And
that's how impressed I was. I actually bought her art.
Yeah, but she does really good, you know, clean line art. And it's Art Nouveau.
And she does actually really good coloring, too. The color grading is spot on.
Yes, it is.
And it's rare that I see... I mean, there was a few pieces I was looking at because I got that artistic eye again growing up in the family where every angle is, like, judged to the minuscule detail. And there was a few points that she did mess up on, but I give that a free pass because these are commonplaces. Like when somebody's looking up and you try to sketch out the jawline, that's not really easy.
No.
And those were like, it was little small things, but I can't really nitpick it because the picture overall blended together so well.
Yeah, and I mean, she did great work. And I went up and talked to her and got her to autograph my piece I bought from her. They also put free calendars in the grab bag this year of her art. And she was just super laid back. She loved that this con. She's, I think she said she wanted to try and come back sometime. But yeah, you know, and really, just like a lot of the people that come to this con, they're really approachable. You can talk to almost anybody. And the only ones you really can't are ones that want to be left alone because they've been running around talking on panels all day. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, people are busy, 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 busy. Yeah, so, you know, as far as the art show goes, and used to be back in the day, I was kind of like almost barred from art shows because I would just walk in and be like, crap, 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 seen it. I have seen every shape, color, and form of elf titties and dragons.
Mm-hmm.
That was my life growing up. So art shows, really, they're not for me, but it's rare that an artist actually produces art that catches my eye and makes me go, you know what? This person is truly talented.
And it's just like the last couple artists they've gotten in to be the art guest of honor. You know, it's something that really just sticks out. I mean, they get comic book people, web comics, you know, people who do advertising art like she does. She did a bunch of advertising for, she said, like...
the tea with the fish on it.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
And she mentioned the tea with the fish on it during opening ceremonies. So yeah, she does corporate artwork.
Yeah, she basically gets contracted to do advertising artwork, just which is what Art Nouveau.
And the fact that she still has a sense of humor after doing corporatized artwork speaks volumes for her character, because doing artwork for a corporation is soul crushing.
Yeah,
I've seen what it looks like on the other side, given that I have a fucked up background, and you go in with your picture because that's what they want. They look at it, they're like, no, and then they change it, they change it, they change it. And they almost completely wash out all creativity of what they want you to do.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, it's kind of soul-crushing, because by the time you're done with the finished product, it's not even something that you would want to have put on a label or on print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a bunch of other really good artists that come back year after year. The art auction is great. I mean, if we didn't have to go through the pass on 90...
Yeah.
Then I would always stay and probably buy something, because it's all framed, it's all really pretty, because there's the silent auction, and then whatever doesn't sell in that is the main auction. And I mean, if you can go with money to spend, there's a lot of good places to go, a lot of good shops. But
well, yeah, the one shop that I wanted to spend money on would have dropped $6,000.
Which one? The Lord of Blacksmiths?
The Lord of Blacksmiths himself over at Sinister Steel.
Oh, Sinister Steel, we got a great... They're going to get their own episode, because we're breaking up our videos to about 15 minutes.
Yeah, we got a lot of
videos. Bite size.
And we got the Armorsmith himself to say a few words, and he's a very animated dude. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of really interesting things to say. His art, his craftsmanship is art. It is.
Funny enough, in the video we did, I pick up a crown to be like, look at this craftsmanship, you know, look at this awesome, great stuff. I ended up buying that one later because it really looked good on me. And you'll see it in a few of the videos. But, you know, he's a great one. We've also got Lord Victor, which we weren't able to get.
We weren't able to get him. Actually, that's another thing, too. I'm glad Victor was that busy. Last year, he looked like he was more or less wall decoration.
Yeah.
And every time I walked into Victor's shop, he was busy. And for those outside of Washington, because I'm not sure how big Victor's range is, Victor just makes custom vampire fangs. That's how he started. He still does it. And this year, every time I walked in there, except for one time, and it was like super late, he was there grinding fangs away.
And more than that, they also have bottles, and he makes excellent leather hats. My top hat, unfortunately, got left behind at home this year.
Yeah, he has expanded his inventory greatly.
And I can't remember her name.
Huh? You can't remember her name?
Female and that was doing all the jewelry stuff. She does really great work. I'm sorry. So sorry I forgot your name.
That's okay. She won't listen to our podcast. We're small for eyes.
But yeah, she does really great, you know, like wire work, jewelry, and, you know, little chainmail pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, they carry a lot of stuff, and they are always willing to, you know, talk to you, give you advice on something. Mm-hmm. And the bottles, they pretty much just reclaim glass bottles. Clean them up, make them look nice, find a good stopper for them. A lot of them are cork, some they have glass, and they just make a little strap for it, make it look piratey, make it
and
look...
And one of the other things that most people won't realize is actually how prolific Victor has gotten with his crafts. For fans of the Zombie Orpheus Entertainment series, Gamers, Part 2, the book that they're supposed to, the Bard Backstabs, was made by Victor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I was going through and I watched the credits, and it said that specific prop made by Victor Moray, and I'm like, holy crap, he's actually expanded.
Yeah.
So, and he's doing still phenomenal work with all of his leather and his fangs, of course.
I mean, his hats, his leather hats, you know, pirate caps, mine's a top hat. He has a couple smaller, you know, different styles, but they are status symbols at several different gatherings, especially, what's the big pirate one in September?
Oh, Seafair?
Seafair. You know, he's that iconic. Everyone knows him. Heck, he's in our general area, and a buddy of ours goes to see him every now and again just to hang out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he used to live down the street from my house, and then I lost my job.
Yeah.
Sucks. We also ran into Will Carson.
Oh my God,
we got a good, we got a spectacular interview with him.
Will was great.
Will was awesome. He's actually the guy who chose for us to play Replicants, which I lost horribly. I was gaining at that last round.
Mm-hmm. You had a chance.
I had a chance.
3 points. Spoiler alert.
It was a 3-point spread, but I lost. But yeah, Will's the one who actually designed that game, put everything together.
Oh my God, our interview with him, like, we sat down, we were showing stuff off, and there's a challenge out there for that one.
Yeah, there is a challenge.
Watch the video to find out.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch the video on YouTube. Challenge,
I will personally do something awesome. I don't know, I'll buy you another one of their games or something, or you know what? I will go and buy a copy of D&D Dizzle and Laser Metal and give them to whoever actually can pull that off.
Well, that's going to be available on our YouTube, but not tonight, because after our podcast, I'm just slapping an opening and a closing on this and going right to bed. I am beat the hell.
Me too. I'm waiting on a pizza.
So the YouTube video for this challenge that Darth Blasphemous is mentioning will be up sometime this week. But for our podcast crowd, you get the early access of what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more fun with that, you know, we talked to a bunch of different vendors, some of the people who are longtime people. We talked to the Star Trek.
I believe the guy who corrected me that he is a Brigadier General.
Yes, Brigadier General in the Federation.
Apparently I did not read the salad on his chest correctly.
Well, you know, he was really great, and we ended up talking to him for like 20 minutes after we did like a 5-minute interview, but you know, a lot of people like that. We pulled aside the Batman.
The Batman.
And interviewed him. We tried to interview some other people, but, you know, just hallways were crowded. People didn't want to step away.
I am surprised that Saturday I did not see Ming anywhere. I wanted to get him in front of camera so bad.
He was in the game room because they were doing the Flash.
Yes, the Flash game.
Yeah, Flash Gordon game.
I hope playing. Ming dominated that one. Ming is one of the staples of RadCon. This guy is so awesome to talk to, especially when he's in character. And yeah. Yeah, so when they, so if he's in the game room playing Flash, I really hope that guy decimated his opponents. You know, gave him like the Mongo Pyro Driver, you know, the Mongo Suplex.
But yeah, you know, there were a whole bunch of people, like a bunch of regulars. There is a gentleman at RadCon who is known as the Con Father. Unfortunately, we weren't able to interview with him, and he wasn't able to be there for most of the con because, well, life and, you know, stuff.
Stuff.
But he is great. You know, he tells the story of the con, how it came to be, big events, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's all these people we talk to. And I wish we could have talked to more just congoers. We got talked to when we were pre-regging for next year about this kid who was standing by when we were interviewing the big kahuna. And he was like, oh, I hope they interview me next. And we never got to him. We were running around like chickens
with our heads. We were running around like chickens with our heads cut off on Saturday. And that, wow. I mean, I hit the ground that day, put my boots on, and it was just grab the camera and go after my breakfast cigarette.
I mean,
and I did not stop until about, what, 11?
I think we called it, no, at 10.
10.
Because then I took the camera, we left the tripod, I took the camera
and did. Well, the fire show was outside and everybody else was outside and it was a bad time to do interviews anyway and, God, fire.
Fire.
How can you deny the snazzy of fire? I mean, right? So, now that we've talked about how cool some of the people are there, let's roll into the second half of this hour.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk about the overall feeling of what this Redcon felt like this year compared to last year. Because last year, for me, is the benchmark.
Yeah, for me, it's sort of a bump in the road. Yeah. Well, I'll start since I have more con experience there.
Okay.
So our issues from last time, if you remember, go back and listen to episode one.
Don't do it. It's horrible.
We had an issue with social justice people. It really came down to people simply wanting to police others simply to, feel some sort of power or something, because really a bunch of it was uncalled for that actually happened, where people were just being shamed to be shamed, period.
Surprisingly, other than the, pictures on the walls about cosplay not being consent.
Well, that's a standard thing, and there are those people.
It's a standard thing now, but it... Amongst the older crowds, such as myself and a few of the other congoers I was talking to, who are also old school, or even the guy who was giving me my badge when I bought into the con, we didn't need those posters 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Somebody would be walking around in a skimpy outfit, and sure as shit, if somebody did try something, somebody else would be like, dude, not cool. The cons would police themselves. We didn't need a security team. We didn't need posters. We didn't need... Well, nobody needs SJWs, but we didn't have somebody telling us, oh, you can't be doing this shit.
And part of that really goes into the fact of the old guard are having to retire. They're having to step down. They can't do all the traveling. You know, they're wanting to just sit back and relax. Or, unfortunately, we've lost quite a few. But we've got to step up, you know. My generation, everybody who's in their 20s right now, and we've got to be better than our lowest common denominator. Because that's the thing. That's where all this is really stemming from, in my opinion, is the people who did this back in the day, for cons, for anything, that kept stuff on the regular. You know, they kept everything fine. Everyone was having a good time. I know there's the horror stories. We've all heard them where people are like, oh, well, this horrible thing happened at con. It sucks, and we really need to try and prevent that, but...
Worst things can happen at cons, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
If I find Burnout, who used to be the leader of a clan, he could tell you the tale of Windows 95.
That's now, worse. When you say clan, you don't mean meeting out in the woods.
No, I do not mean clan with a K. And that's one of the weird things about cons nowadays. I used to be a clan leader, and it was really...
Really?
Yeah, it was a really small clan. We were the clan of Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And our idol was Bob Dobbs,
mm-hmm.
J.R. Bob Dobbs. And what we did is we passed out Bob Bucks so people could buy and sell slaves or goods from the clan of Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you need an extra cigarette. If you go to a Bobite, one of us, and hand us some Bob Bucks, we'd be like, oh, well, you're helping our clan out. Here's a smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were kind of like... This heralds back to our first podcast that was really bad with phones not being silenced.
Sorry.
Yeah. Clan Burnout. There was a lot of clans. There was Clan Ogre, I believe. There was a Star Trek-based clan. These were just basically larger social groups that usually had a common purpose. And Clan Burnout, his clan were all volunteer clans. And that's what they did, is they volunteered until they burnt out.
Yeah.
Windows 95 is a horror story. There's another horror story I could tell you where we had 7 ambulances show up one night because somebody decided to mix the wrong things together with alcohol. Ooh. And honestly, the need to put up posters about cosplay and consent is so trivial to ambulances. I have seen fights break out at cons where blood is drawn.
Yeah.
You know, and they actually have security guards who are there to handle it, not guys who have to radio in for somebody who actually is an ass kicker.
Yeah, it's basically, we've got a troop of scouts. I mean, I know a bunch of the security guys, and they do a good job, but, I mean, we had an incident this year with the security. Madamus, he's got lightsabers. Top quality saber-forged lightsabers. Yes, that's a shameless plug. They're not paying me for that. I'm going to go buy me a saber on my birthday. Hopefully.
I want to get one, and I'm going to name it Hello Kitty. It's going to be pink.
Yeah, they can do that.
I know they can do that. I'm going to do it because it's going to clash with my outfit.
And then you have to mess with the soundboard and have it do the Hello Kitty sound.
Yeah, I'm going to have to mess with the soundboard.
But besides
that
commercial break, mm-hmm. Where they were swinging around the lightsabers, as you do, not hitting anybody, making sure there's room. We even had people that were like, hey, we're doing this thing. And this volunteer security guy was power tripping, basically, because the guy who was actually swinging the lightsaber at the time was higher rank than him, and he comes around the corner and is like, dude, just calm down. And then, I mean, some of the people they got are great. They love to do that, and they don't power trip. They just take care of people.
Well, on the topic of security, because, again, I'm going back 20 years in cons or whatever. At the security at RadCon between last year and this year, it seems to be, like, not hitting that comfortable medium.
Yeah, last year it was super high.
Last year was tighter than a tick's butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this year, there was moments where I could just walk past the security personnel and they wouldn't even check for my badge.
I passed two that were sleeping.
Yeah, there were some that were sleeping.
And they're supposed to be at stations, making sure only con people get in.
There was a lot of doors. I don't know if this was the hotel's prerogative,
mm-hmm.
but there were doors that were unlocked that last year were locked mm-hmm. For access to con-only areas.
Yeah.
So security doesn't seem to reach that comfortable medium. Some of them seem like they were dicks. Some of them seem like they weren't. I actually bumped into a couple of security guards late night walking around drunk off my butt. We had great conversations.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it's I can't say, oh, one security guard's been a dick, so I have to judge them all. Because you're dealing with individuals, and each individual is going to be different from the norm. But last year, super tight. This year, it was either tight or lax.
Yeah, it couldn't find a group, but...
It
was a transitional year because of people leaving and doing their own stuff, people having lives and not being able to do this anymore. So that's why it's us, our generation, that has to step up. We've got to go volunteer. We may not become, you know, chair of the con right away, but you know what? We can go there and be the best damn minion we can. And I wish I could. I really wish I could volunteer at con and... I can't because I'm on the wrong side of the mountains for that, and that requires meetings and having to go there. But hey, I won the lottery. They're number 3 on my list. I will personally bankroll the con.
They did mention at opening ceremony they could use a millionaire sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want to go corporatized like a bunch of other cons where it's, you know, lockstep, hail the mousy-eared lord.
Yeah,
but
the mousy-eared lord. Fucking mother. I'm tired. Don't bring up the mousy-eared lord.
So, but yeah, that's kind of part of it, that we have to step up and become part of the con and make it better. We don't want to have to rely on signs and other people. We need to step up and do it. You see someone doing something messed up, tell security, a real security, or without power tripping or, you know, making the situation worse, try and correct it, you know, be like, hey, you know, no, that's against the rules, and just, you know, warn somebody against that. And sometimes that works because you shame them into either leaving or stopping.
Actually, that does kind of segue into another point.
Mm-hmm.
There was a con I went to, I believe it was Dragon Con. No, not Dragon Con. Fuck. I can't even remember the name of it. And I threw the badge away a long time ago. But it was a small con. It was their first year. They started up. Their attendance was, at best, 600 people.
Mm-hmm.
At best. By the time Saturday rolled around, they were giving out con badges.
Yeah.
If you were ghosting, they would just give you a con badge. That's how low the attendance was. And a lot of us, on Friday, were walking around like, where's the con? Where's the con? You know, they only had a handful of panels. The art room was...
sparse.
Seriously subpar. If people think RadCon is going downhill and has hit rock bottom, they have not seen a con of this tiny size.
And that was a sad thing, was a lot of people were like, oh, this con's going to hell, or... online, they're like, oh, I'm not going, blah, 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 some drama. And I'm like, guys, we got to work together to make it better. We can't rely on the others. We all have to pitch in. Like me, my thing is, I want to try and, you know, rep this con, advertise. I'll go out with a sign on, you know, the side of I-5 and just shake that around for a while.
Exactly. But, and the con that I went to,
mm-hmm.
the con that I went to, it was really small. We're going out on Friday night and everybody's saying, where's the con, where's the con, where's the con? Sometime at about mid-Saturday,
mm-hmm.
there was a wave of relief through the con organizers. Because a lot of the people were walking around, you're going, where's the con? And suddenly somebody said, we are the con. we make the con happen. Mm-hmm. We're the reason the organizers organize this. So let's make it happen.
Yep.
And, you know, RadCon could take a lesson from that. You know, that, you know, they are organizing it. They're volunteering. They want to put on a good show. They want to have a great showing. They want to have people enjoy it. And for some reason, the people are not enjoying it. And the people need to realize that they are the con. They're the reason why these things take place. They're the reasons why guests of honor come out to talk to their fans and, you know, diversify their portfolio or rub elbows, what have you. It's because we, the attendants, are the con.
Exactly. And, you know, that just really reaffirms the point of, you know, we are the lifeblood of a con. If no one goes, it never happens. And there's more than just going, though, because there were several people I saw that literally just showed up, spent no money, walked around, looked at everything, did nothing. They just sat there, absorbed space, went to hospitality, got stuff, never paid. You know, we've got to support our cons both with attendance and financially. Because, I mean, I spent a good bit. I save up for this. I do my tax return, and that is literally my con money. So I save up for it all year. And then taxes come through, and bam, there's my con money. And I always spend that. I came back with $10 this year out of the amount I got. And
well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I spent maybe $100.
Well, no, you include the room. You spent $230 at least.
I'm not including the room. I'm saying on vendors that were there. Because if you don't buy stuff from the vendors aren't going to show up.
Exactly.
You know, I dialogued with some of the Mucky Mucks, you and me both, with the camera and stuff. So they're getting more of their public face out there through even small fish like us. It's every little bit helps. You know, a few drops in the bucket eventually adds up to a gallon.
True. And I mean, I'm sad I didn't get to buy anything at Victor's this year, but I've got a hat, really great, it's going to last me a long time. I've got my fangs, I'm not going to lose them like some people I know, nurses.
Well, I didn't buy anything from Victor this year, but I did make a healthy donation to him that was about $10 worth of moonshine.
Not only that, there was also the skooma.
And the skooma. You know what, if I make skooma ever again, it's going to be in a much smaller batch.
Yes.
I'm probably going to serve it in shots.
I'd say mix it on point on site.
Or I'm going to have to reduce the amount of the fourth additive I put in there because it was a bit much on the sugary side.
Yeah.
That was also another strange thing about con. This con.
It's a party con.
Yeah, it's a party con. This was a lot more of a party con, but we'll get to the end of the issue of parties in a moment. The con really started for me this year on Friday night. Last year, it didn't start for me at all.
Yeah.
Last year, I was there to give it a chance to see what would happen, and I was a lot more critical. I think anybody who delves back into the history of our first podcast will say, God, this guy's a fucking dick, which I probably am. Yeah, I'll attest to that. I need a t-shirt. Goblin, fucking dick. But the con started for me this year on Friday night as I'm barreling down the hallway, screaming, Skooma! And suddenly, some random, I don't even know who she was, it just says, Skooma? Khajiit doesn't like Skooma. And I'm like, no, my Skooma's good. And the next thing I know, I'm going back to my room with a complete random. And she drinks some of the Skooma. I just pour her a small amount, you know, to test it out. And next thing I know, she's like, I got a friend who loves to do drinks based off of games. And I'm like, well, here's the recipe. And I passed on the recipe to Skooma to her to give to her friend. So,
and not only that, she also ended up hanging out with some of us the rest of the con.
Yeah.
I mean, we made a friend just by random happenstance, and that's great. I mean, con is where you see people once a year if you got to travel for it.
Yeah, true. And, you know, that's when the con started for me this year, and that's when I realized that I was actually going to, I use this word sparingly, but it's when I knew I was going to enjoy the con a bit.
Oh, good God. Is it going to snow? We just left it in the mountains. Please
don't
bring it down.
Like I told you on Saturday, I should be wallowing in Inui. But actually, after running around all day Saturday like a freaking chicken, and
I thought he was going to die. This old guy looked like he was going to die. I mean,
dude, after the dance, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
The security guards were like stuffing water in my pockets because I'm out there breaking the sweat in this fucking bubble suit. there's no airflow whatsoever, and he thought I was going to keel over until, like, the safety ring on my dinosaur popped out, so the fan dropped and my suit just instantly deflated, so I had to actually peel myself out. Mm-hmm. And even in that hot-ass room, it still felt great. So there I'm reassembling my freaking costume on the dance floor, and the security guard's like, whew! But yeah, it made the night for both the security guys, and there was a bunch of dancers out there having fun. What was that other topic we were getting into? Parties.
Due to certain things in the location of this con, only one place could get a liquor license, which was 10 Forward, which is good because 10 Forward is a con staple.
I do like my Romulan Ale, even though I am a fan of a completely different genre. True. Not Star Wars.
No. Oh, right. You're a Farscaper.
I'm a Farscape. Farscape all the way. But I do like my Romulan Ale. But yeah, continue with your story. I know I interrupted.
Oh. Pause there. Pausing. For pizza.
We got to pause because we need pizza. Okay, back to our filthy edit here after our pizza was deliciously eaten.
Oh my god, so good.
It was so good.
I'm not saying the name of the place, but so good.
Yeah, so good. So we were on parties.
Right, so as I said at the beginning, we had a spontaneous room party up here. Part of the reason for that was because the total number of room parties official was limited to one due to local happenings in the area this con takes place. Which sucked, but there were a bunch of people who were just like, we're getting our friends together in our room. Yeah, and we, every year, do an unofficial private party room where it's invite only. And you can't be invited by a friend of a friend, it has to be direct from one of the inner circle. But thankfully, it was in my room this year, yes. Because we had the better space. We were the only ones that got a double bed.
Yeah, it was weird when I got told, hey, your room is the party room. But yeah, the lack of parties was kind of a downer. I mean, yeah, I love 10 Forward, and I love me some Romulan Ale.
Mm-hmm. That's my drink of choice. Lunar Lieutenant or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But the
Lunar Liaison.
Lunar Liaison.
Pretty good.
It is good.
No adios, but it's pretty good.
But the lack of parties overall, I think, was detrimental.
Yeah, although on Saturday night, there was a lot more people just milling about talking to each other. There were conversations going on until the wee hours of the morning, people just being up and like, hey.
There were, but there was also roving gangs of zombies walking around looking for where the party was at.
Yeah.
As if anyone they could get into and have some alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And thanks to our friend nicknamed Multipass, we can basically go to any room party because she's been going to that con for so long and knows everybody, even if she doesn't remember them.
That reminds me of like when I walked out of 10-4 and that dude said, hey, Q. We don't mention Q on this podcast because Q is a dick. But the same token, Q. Yeah. He turned around.
Q came out of 10-4.
He came out of 10-4. Yeah, Q came out of 10-4. Turned around. Some dude said, hey, Q. Q didn't recognize him.
Which is weird. But yeah, you know, that's the great thing, is cons are just roving communities that go to hotels and convention centers and get together and like, hey, you know, I haven't seen you since last, you know, year or last convention we also go to together. Like, we're getting ready to go SakuraCon, which I'm probably going to be soloing with Nedge, Narciss, and our buddy Haley.
Haley was on our podcast last year, too.
Yep. Yeah. But we're doing that again, so that's the only other con I go to. I think I might go to some GPs this coming year, depending on how work goes. But, you know, that's one of the things, you get to see people you don't get to see all the time. And if you take people with you, yeah, you bring home with you, but, you know, they get to make new friends. We made all kinds of new friends this year. It's great.
You do need to remember one thing about that. It's that I don't know if it still holds true, but back in my day, young fancy smancy whippersnapper, when you met somebody at con, it didn't matter how they introduced themselves, who they were with, what name they had on their badge. when you met them outside of con, they would have to reintroduce themselves again. Because one of the things that's odd about cons, in a way, is who you are at con is kind of different than who you are outside of con. So I can meet somebody and be like, hey, you know, you're really cool for drinking buddy, run around con with them all weekend. But if I see them outside of con, I'm not going to be a dick and be like, hey, who are you? I'm just going to be like, that's your con face. Now I get to see your public face.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of like one of my personal rules that I've held onto for a long time. That seemed to be like one of the rules of thumb at the time is, even though a multipass may be totally legit, if I were to meet her outside of con, it'd be like, hey, that was a great con, but who are you?
Yeah. But, you know, the parties that did happen were under control. As far as I know, there weren't any big, like, security had to be called, cops had to show up. I mean, there are great photos, though, on the Facebook page of the cops actually being there and talking to the Lord Blacksmith and trying on some of his wares.
Yeah.
They were walking around just to do their checks, you know, like they're supposed to. And they were having a great time. They were checking stuff out, talking to people about their cosplay, or like, oh, I play that video game too, or oh, I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, Pokemon, and, you know, they connected with the people. And,
the cops are going to have an interesting job coming up in the future, I think, given the way that the parties are going nowadays, because if we cannot get more tin-forward, like, party rooms where people can go in and drink and yell, Butt Stallion.
Oh, yes, I wish I could have got a Butt Stallion. Yeah.
A lot of people were disappointed they couldn't get a Butt Stallion this year, and I actually enjoy them. I think a lot of parties in the future are going to become more privatized room parties where it is going to be invite-only.
Speakeasies, almost.
Basically speakeasies where behind closed doors they may or may not accept donations. You don't know what's going on. It's going to be invite-only or a vouch system or something. And honestly, in the long run, it's going to be a lot harder for the con to control stuff like that.
One of the cool things, I got dragged to two different private room parties because of multipass. And everyone there were the old guard. And they're like, we cannot take donations. We don't want donations. What we do want is for you to go down to hospitality and drop them a donation. Because you're not buying anything alcohol-wise, so it's all legal and legit. But they still want you to support the con in any way, shape, and form. So, I mean, we ran down there, and I just... $5 purchase right there for the, like, half a drink I had.
Hey, all they're asking me for you to do is pay it forward to support the con, and I can totally back that up.
Yeah. And I mean, this wasn't like direct con people. I mean, these were just people who were like, we come to con every year. We do our private function with our friends and allow a few people we know at con only to come in. And they just want to support the con. I mean, it was really great to see that.
Yeah. Overall, though, to wrap this up, because we are hitting the last 10 minutes of the podcast, we're going to be a short one. And like I mentioned earlier, this is going to be quick and filthy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going in raw.
Going in raw. Raw.
Well, I mean, we're going to do light editing, like light simple editing stuff, but we're not going to go in and take out all the pregnant.
Dude, I'm going to do a quick and dirty edit on this, filthy edit, and I'm going right to bed.
Yeah, you do that. I'm probably going to be up for 4 hours.
I got to be up in 7 hours.
Oh, and remember, these rules are great at any con, but they're the rules of RadCon. 3, 2, 1. One shower, 2 meals, 3 hours sleep.
Something like that.
Something like that. But it's basically, you know, you gotta shower at con. Please don't be that guy. I will carry around soap flakes and start throwing them at people.
Just walk around with a bottle of Febreze.
Can't do that.
Oh yeah, you gotta pee spawn that. That's another thing at cons that has gotten way out of control. This is old Vanguard speaking here. Used to be, if it looked like a weapon, pee spawned it. And you could get away, like, my first few cons, you could get away with actually doing your own pee spawns. Like, if you had a sword in the sheath, and you had a leather tie, if it was tied, and security gave it a quick look over, they'd be like, alright, it's pee spawned.
Yeah.
But now they zip tie everything. It's like that story you're telling me about the walking cane.
Right, or even your staff this
year. Or even the holy staff, which was weird. They're pee spawning a holy man's staff, and, like, giving me the spiel of don't hit people with it. I'm like, dude...
Oh, and then if you try and joke with them, like, I volunteered at Ace Albuquerque Comic Expo, and I was doing the peace bonding, and I met a friend, and we joked about, oh, well, you know, I'm dressed up as the Assassin's Creed guy, and I'm trying to get all my stuff back, you know, because he was buying a bunch of the stuff at con. So he would keep coming back to me, and I'd have to peace bond it, and then finally I'm like, all right, man, you're fully armed, put your hand out. He's like, what? And for us, peace bonding wasn't zip ties. It was this weird tape they had. So I peace bonded his finger. I'm like, you're a weapon now.
Nice.
Yeah, but these guys, you can't do that with them because it's all zip ties.
Yeah, the peace bonding has gotten a wee bit out of control as far as peace bonding items, because some items are clearly just decorative,
mm-hmm.
or foam, or decorative foam, or otherwise there's no real logical reason, and they still have to have you peace bonded anyway. Other than that, to get wrap up, because...
Yeah, we're hitting the time limit.
We're hitting that time. The con can still recover.
Mm-hmm.
The overall atmosphere this year was way better than it was last year. Last year felt very oppressive, especially with the SJW presence.
Mm-hmm.
I felt unsafe near the safe room, because if I'm myself, I will get kicked the fuck out or yelled out.
Mm-hmm.
They will make an issue of it. They will scream to security that I'm an offensive prick, which isn't too far from the mark. But I paid
money. But you don't try to be an offensive prick on purpose.
I don't try to be an offensive prick on purpose. That's just who I am. And, of course, they can't accept me for who I am, so they'd probably yell at security to get me kicked out or something. They will make a big fucking ruckus, and I paid to be at the con just like they did. So, you know what? Live and let live.
Mm-hmm.
They paid money to be at the con. I'm not going to jump their asses if I don't like their outfit.
Yeah.
Or if they say something I don't like. It's called free speech.
And still, even on that, you know, stuff like that's going to take a while to wash off. And
it is going to take a while to wash off.
The posters... Sales got hit really bad last year because of the social justice stuff, because they just walk around and look at things and don't buy, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll get more into this in a later re-RadCon breakdown.
Yeah, we do have a post-RadCon breakdown. I have a whole lot of video to go edit and splice and chop and make presentable.
Mm-hmm.
We got some really great interviews in there with cosplayers. We got vendors. We've got con ops.
Oh yeah, Big Kahuna. He's gonna be the first episode.
Yeah,
and then I'll probably throw in Batman. Yeah, you guys will see it.
You guys will see it. We'll throw it up on our YouTube account. All the videos.
Yep, youtube.com/ Blunt Force Gamers.
It's Blunt with a dash between Blunt and Force, but mm-hmm. Blunt Force Gamers.
Yeah.
So basically it's Blunt-Force Gamers.
Check us out. We're going to be uploading a lot more there. That's what Season 2 is about. We're doing video now.
We're doing a lot of things. We've got a lot of projects coming up.
Yeah. But for now, and to leave you on that high note.
Yeah. We'll leave on a high note. Next year when we go to RadCon, we're going to be like...
Official.
Wow.
Because I'm getting us a booth.
What?
Hallway booth.
You sick bastard.
I'm doing it. You can't stop me.
All right.
So, as always, Darth Blasphemous signing off.
Game Goblin, keep rolling them nat 20s. And we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks for our next episode. We're getting the whole game together. It's going to be lit.
Peace.
Peace out.
Come on. Listen.